All right, welcome to the next Singing and Slaying podcast. My name is Peter Jones. I'm the pastor of Christ Church of Morgantown in Morgantown, West Virginia. I'm glad you joined me today, and I want to continue discussion of the prophets. I started last week, talking about the prophets in general and sort of a timeline of Israel's history and their chronology. And today I want to give you an introduction to the book of Isaiah, a brief introduction to the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah is the greatest of all Old Testament prophets. I mean, that would be the way we would think about it, approach it. He is quoted, I haven't done any official studies of this, but my guess, he's quoted more than almost any other prophet in the Old Testament. And his prophecies play a heavy part in the life of Christ. You think of the quotation from Isaiah 40 about John the Baptist. You think of Isaiah 7 about the virgin will give birth to a son, and lots of other passages, branch ideas. Ideas are just woven throughout the New Testament that come from Isaiah. One of my seminary professors thought that the whole book of Romans was almost like a gloss or a commentary on Isaiah from a new covenant post-resurrection perspective. And maybe that's the case. I mean, certainly Isaiah is prominent and important in the New Testament, and he's long, 66 chapters long, covers a lot of territory, and there's a lot in there. The man Isaiah, we don't know much about. If you read Isaiah, you see there's very little biographical detail about Isaiah. Compare that to Jeremiah, for example, or Daniel, or even Ezekiel, and you see that those guys, you have a lot of details about their life, this going on, a lot of narrative stories in Daniel and Ezekiel and Jeremiah that you do not have in Isaiah. We know very little about Isaiah personally. We have Isaiah 6, where he appears before the throne room and all that. And then we have a few little narrative examples in Isaiah 36, where Hezekiah calls him in. But overall, it's just prophecy. It's not stories from Isaiah's life. So we don't know much about him at all. So here's the time frame, just to give you a little bit of a chronology here of when Isaiah prophesied. Isaiah prophesied during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Okay, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. And Uzziah's reign ended around 739 BC. So if you go to Isaiah 6, it says in the days when Uzziah was king, Isaiah goes to the throne room of God. So somewhere near the late part of Uzziah's reign, during the late part of Uzziah's reign, Isaiah was commissioned by God to go and take his message to Israel. Okay, so this would have been around 740, 741 BC. Hezekiah's reign ends around 686 BC. So that's the latest Isaiah could have been prophesying. All right, and more than likely it was earlier than that when his prophecies ended, somewhere around, you know, 695, between 700 and 695, somewhere in that range. So basically, you've got this range from like about 740 to about 690. That 50-year span where Isaiah prophesied. We do know Isaiah had access to the kings. Hezekiah calls on him. He has access to Hezekiah. He comes into the kings and talks to the kings. So he had that sort of access. And he prophesied around Jerusalem. That would seem to be an indication. He prophesied in the southern kingdom. If you remember, after Solomon, Rehoboam and Jeroboam split the kingdom, with Jeroboam taking the north and Rehoboam taking the south, and they split the kingdom, and it remained split. And Isaiah prophesied in the south. Now, he prophesied, though, during the time when the northern kingdom fell. So Assyria comes into the northern kingdom and attacks it around 732 BC, and then completely overthrows the northern kingdom in 722 BC. So that's kind of right in the first, 15, 20 years of Isaiah's prophesying, the northern kingdom falls to Assyria. Okay, now Assyria comes back later, if you remember, in 2 Kings 18 through 20, Assyria comes back and attacks Jerusalem, and that's when Hezekiah comes and Isaiah prays for Hezekiah, and Hezekiah, pulls a little maneuver there with the water and different things like that, and water conduit, and they escape from the hands of Sennacherib and Assyria. But Assyria takes over and defeats the northern kingdom during Isaiah's prophecy. So what's Isaiah doing? We could talk a long time about Isaiah, but what's happening in the book of Isaiah? What's going on in the book of Isaiah? Well, basically, you have Isaiah is divided up into two sections, 1 through 39 and 40 through 66. So that's a pretty easy division. You can divide up in other ways, but that's a pretty easy, simple division. And the first 39 chapters are mainly judgment, not entirely. You have Isaiah 11 in there and Isaiah 9 and Isaiah 26. It's not all judgment, but it's mainly judgment. And then in 40 through 66, you have mainly promises of restoration mixed with, again, some judgment. So it's not all judgment in the beginning, and it's not all restoration in the end, but the emphasis tilts a bit from judgment on the nations and judgment on Israel and judgment on Judah in the first 39 chapters to judgment on to restoration of Israel and Judah in the second and 40 through 66. And really what you have there is you have the promise of restoration. This is the idea. Israel, because of her disobedience, because of her unbelief, because of her idol worship, because of all this stuff, she is going to come under the covenant curses of God. And that's basically what Isaiah says. You're in trouble, Israel. Your hands are dirty. Your hands are bloody. The city is going to pay. Jerusalem's going to pay. But God is not going to leave you there. God is going to send a savior, a rescuer, a deliverer. And one of the greatest places you can see this is Isaiah 55, where he says he looked around and there was no one to deliver, and his own arm brought salvation. Okay, and I believe that's Isaiah 55. His own arm, and obviously you got Isaiah 53 there as well. You got Isaiah 40. The whole second half of the book is filled with these promises of restoration. And of course, that brings us to Jesus. The restoration was not ultimately the return to the land, although that was part of it. The restoration is ultimately Jesus Christ. He takes the covenant curses that are supposed to come upon his people. He bears them in his own body, as Isaiah 53 says. He becomes the curse for us, and then we are saved and we are delivered out of that. We are rescued out of that. And that is the message of Isaiah. Isaiah is the one of the clearest presentations of the gospel in the Old Testament, and that's why it's one of the most beloved books of the Old Testament. You think about Genesis and Psalms and Isaiah. Those are right there at the top of the most loved books by God's people in the Old Testament, okay? So the Old Testament, so Isaiah takes this picture of Israel has been disobedient, she's been wayward, she's been unbelieving, she is going to be crushed by God under the hand of Assyria and under the hand of Babylon, and she's going to be sent to exile. She's in trouble. And then he is going to restore her, and that restoration ultimately comes under Jesus Christ. Now, what's interesting is when Isaiah dies, Hezekiah is the king, or when Isaiah stops prophesying, Hezekiah is the king. He's a good king, but he's kind of the last one. After Hezekiah, the southern kingdom goes down the hill, and about 100 years after Hezekiah's reign ends, Babylon comes in for the last time. They had been doing it for decades. Babylon comes in and destroys Jerusalem and sends its people into exile. But the good news is that was not the end. And for those Old Testament saints who had the scrolls of Isaiah and they could read it, they could know there is a time coming when the Lord will restore Israel. And that is exactly what he has done in Jesus Christ. And I want to close this podcast by reading from Isaiah 54. And this is one of my favorite little sections in Isaiah, probably not as well known, but it's Isaiah 54, 9 and 10. And just listen to this. It's pretty magnificent. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so I have sworn that I will not be angry with you nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. And so what's happening here is, the prophet God, the Lord, is promising that after this rebuke, after this judgment, whatever it was, which it was exile, that he is going to restore them, and it will be like the waters of Noah. In other words, he promises to never again do this to them. Just like he promised Noah never again to flood the earth, he promises to never again to destroy his people like this. Why is that? Well, because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Jesus takes the curses on our behalf. Therefore, there does not hang over our heads anymore the threat of his people and going to exile, the threat of his people being destroyed, the threat of his people being cast out and forgotten, and of the nations destroying her, okay? Now, there can be pockets, and there can be denominations that fall, and individuals that fall, and even churches that fall. But the people of God, the corporate people of God, the body of Christ, the church, will never again come underneath the covenant curses like she did in the Old Testament. And this is the promise given in Isaiah 54, 9 and 10. So as we work through Isaiah, we will see these great gospel promises, and we will see how they're perfectly and wonderfully fulfilled in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I encourage you, I'm going to try to, again, do these once a week on Isaiah, and eventually we'll get through Isaiah and go to Jeremiah, but do these once a week. I encourage you to keep coming back as we work through this text together, and next time we'll look at Isaiah 1. Well, thank you for joining me. Again, my name is Peter Jones. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you do, you can go to my website, singingslain.com, and follow me there, or you can go to iTunes and do whatever you're supposed to do over at iTunes, subscribe, or whatever the case may be. I hope you enjoyed it, and I'll look forward to talking to you next time. Thank you.